Well, I want to welcome you to Crossing. We're wrapping up a series on the word shift. 10 years ago, we began the journey of planting the Crossing. And I've shared with you many of the stories along the way. And it was crazy because about 10 years ago, as I was reflecting in this time, I began to realize one of the major issues God asked us to do is he asked me in my life, are you willing to make a shift? And we didn't really know what that looked like, what that entailed, but God began to teach me some valuable lessons. And as we're entering into this 10th year, what we've been doing is we've been taking this definition, each definition, there's three definitions to the word shift, and I've been sharing with you some of the lessons that God has taught me through that journey and through that process. Because the reality is we're all on a journey, right? We're all, you get up every day, this life that we have is a journey, it's not a sprint. There's challenges along the way, there's detours along the way. We all face different situations in our life's journey. And the reality is we see from Scripture that sometimes that journey can just simply be a short journey, but because of our decisions, it becomes a longer journey. Look at the lives of the Israelites when we see in the book of Exodus. What did they do? They had an 11-day journey to simply get to the land of Canaan that God had promised them, but because of their decision, their choices, it turned into a 40-year journey. And all of us are facing this, but along the way, sometimes God asks you to shift. And the first week we looked about the fact that in order to shift in trusting God, you have to be able to trust him and jump. There's an old saying that we pointed out, a Native American saying that says, as you go the way of life, you will see a great chasm. Jump, it's not as wide as you think. And learning the lesson that you have to shift, you have to be willing to trust God. When he tells you to jump, when he tells you to move, you've got to be willing to do that. And that's a huge step. But last week we looked at the fact that it's not simply just trusting God and jumping. Because once you jump, then what do you do? Now what? There has to be a point where you say, now God, I'm going to shift ownership. And you begin to say, Lord, you are my God and I am an heir of you. I am your child. And you shift ownership. Everything about that changes. And then you also take ownership. And you say, look, I'm responsible for my actions because I am a representative of Christ. And today I want to look at the last definition in this series, the word shift. And it deals with the automotive statement. Let's look at the definition. It says to shift, to change gears from one's ratio or arrangement to another. So here's what you have to understand. That you have to shift your thinking to recognize, as we talked about last week, whose you are and who you are in Christ. But in this shift now, we have to say, I now have to make a gear shift. So I have made the jump. I said, okay, God, I'm going to trust you. I released ownership and said, okay, I'm not just going to hold on to where I'm in control, but I'm going to allow you to be in control of my life because you are my God and I am your child of God. But now beyond that, you have to realize that God has a destination for you. He has a plan for your life. He wants you to move forward. It reminds me, when you talk about shifting gears, many of you think of what? We think of driving a Standard, don't we? My first truck growing up was a Standard. It was a 3-speed on the column. Anybody remember these? How many of you even know what a 3-speed on the column is? I'm just curious. Okay, you know what I'm talking about. Some people are like, what? I mean, I remember getting in thinking, this is not an automatic. It has a column gear shift, but there's actually gears the way you put this in. And that's how I was going to be taught to drive a car. And I'll never forget. Now, some of you, you may remember when you had this happen to you. Maybe you were brought in the country road or in a pasture, in a parking lot. And I remember going through all the things, shifting. And if you've ever driven a Standard, you know there's a process to this. You got to ease that clutch out and push that gas the right thing. You got to start in the right gear. Right? You tracking with me? And I had begun to learn and grow in the parking lot and shifted over to the back roads. And I thought, my dad's like, you know what? I think you're ready. You know, nervous and bold, whatever you want to call it. He was stupid, maybe, right? He takes me out on the road. This is first time. And we're cruising along. We're going the back roads all through there. And he's like, you know, you're doing pretty good, pretty good. Then I came to a hill. You all know, if you've driven a Standard, you know what's going to happen. So I get at this hill. Now, I've killed it many a times because, you know, if you don't let that clutch out just right, boom, you're gonna pop, you're going to kill it. And so we're at this intersection, and I'll never forget it as long as I live. We're sitting there, and I'm nervous, you know, because I'm thinking in my mind, I'm focusing. I've got to let this clutch out just at the right moment. Everything's going to be just right. I'm going to hit that gas, and we're going to make it. All is good, and I'm waiting. And there's kind of a blind hill, and it was on my dad's side, and I'm sitting on this hill. So all I'm focused on is, can I go? And I got to get this thing off. You know, I don't want to kill it right here in the middle of this intersection. And so I'll never forget. I said, Dad, there's this big hill and there's cars usually coming down. I said, Dad, can I go? And I'm nervous. I'm ready. And he says, no. Well, I thought he said, go. And so, man, I popped that thing. He's like, Jesus! You know, and we come squealing out of there, and they hit their brakes, and I come flying out. He said, I said no. I thought you said go. He's like, oh, God, help us, you know. And we went. I mean, it was an experience that we both laugh about even to this day. We had no idea. But it's an experience. Why? Because you're shifting gears. You're going from one gear to another. And you know what? If you're in the wrong gear, it's going to bog down. If you pop it too quick, what? You're going to kill it. There's so many things that can happen in that one split decision. And the reality is, when you look at your life, there are moments where God's asking you to shift gears. And how you respond can have a direct impact on your journey. Sometimes, let's be honest, we jump the gun and we kill it. Sometimes we shift too quick and we bog it down. But there is a process in life. There is a process in your spiritual growth. When you learn to shift and you say, God, I'm going to learn to trust you and put my faith in you and walk this path. Because as you walk the journey, you're going to have times where you need to jump. You're going to have times you need to release. But then there's also going to be times you have to learn to adjust to the difficulties of life. You see, here's what you have to understand. God never intended for you to be idle. You were created to shift gears and move to the next level. Amen? I mean, let's be real. When you're driving, how well does it go for you to drive 55 miles an hour in first gear? If you've driven that thing, you know what? You got a problem. You're going to strip a few gears. Something's going to happen, right? Or how about this one? This is an old saying. You know this. If you can't find it, grind it. How did you know that? You've grinded it before, right? If you can't find it, grind it. There are moments where you sometimes have to shift gears. There are moments sometimes where you can't find it and you're grinding it, right? You don't know how you're going to make it. You don't know how you're going to happen. But the reality is this. God did not intend for you to live life idle. That's not his plan. Yet we as believers do what? We come. We accept Christ as our Savior. We kick it into gear. And oftentimes many of us never leave first gear. Oftentimes we may try to jump the gun and we bog ourselves down. Oftentimes we sit there and try to do it ourselves and we grind it. There is a process. God is a strategic God. He has a process. He has a plan that he wants for you in your life. But the reality is it takes adjustment and it takes your trust in him. So you can't just trust him to jump. You can't just trust him to take ownership. You got to trust him with every step and every decision you make. Because as you do that, you begin to discover that, guess what? I know that God has a plan for my life. Hebrews chapter 12 gives us an incredible definition and explanation of this concept. Paul is writing to the church of Hebrew, or the writer of Hebrew. Many debate if it's Paul or other writers. That they're writing to the Hebrew church, the Jewish church. And they're dealing with this concept of this. People have been lax in their faith. They've been beginning to allow the culture, follow this, around them to dictate their decisions. Does that sound familiar? They begin to say, you know what, this is how everybody else, I'm just going to follow along this way. They begin to bog themselves down. And in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, the writer is making it very clear and saying this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge cloud of witnesses to the life of faith. In other words, you're not in this journey alone. There are people all around you. A reminder, let us strip off every weight that slows us down and easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before you. Let me ask you this question. What's slowing you down? What suitcases have you decided to carry in your life? See, here's what happens. Oftentimes, we load ourselves down. Think of it. If you're carrying this backpack like this guy right here, we carry the burdens of our life. We carry sometimes the heartaches, the pains that we've gone through. Sometimes we carry the frustrations that we've had. And what we do is we stick this on our back and we say, God, help us. And we wonder why he doesn't. You see, here's, and he also dealt with the sin. We fill our lives up with sin, bad decisions that we make. Instead of trusting God, we just continue to load ourselves down to the point where we can hardly even put our foot in front of the other. And we sit there and we ask ourselves, God, where are you? And this scripture, he's telling us in chapter 12, throw that weight off. Why are you carrying that weight? It's a decision that you make. It's your choice, what you want to do, but why are you doing that? He says, throw off that weight that so easily trips you up and ensnares you. It lets us run the race with endurance. You see, here's what you have to understand. Shifting requires focus, right? Sometimes you have that hyper-focus like I did. You're waiting to pop that clutch, man. You're like, come on, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. But it requires you to think. Now, as you begin to drive a standard, you don't think about it near as much, right? Your next feat is learning how to drive a standard while eating food, right? Yeah, you've done it. You know what I'm talking about. Shift that gear, take a drink, take a eat, whatever. It's a process. You have to learn. And not until you become comfortable do you stop thinking about it. But even in the midst of it, there's some level of focus you have to do in learning how to drive that standard. The same is true when you're following Christ. You've got to learn to shift gears, but you've got to focus and say, you know what? God, I focus on the fact that you've got this. I'm going to trust you with my life. I don't understand all the details. I don't know how it's all going to take place, but I'm going to trust you. Why? Because my focus is on you and not the things of this world. Because we just read it. It says, don't allow the things of the world, the weight, to bog you down, to trip you up. But instead, run with endurance. Focus on him. Look at verse 2. It says, we do this by doing what? Keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. And now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. So we see this. He's telling us what? Keep your eyes focused on Jesus. And here's the principle behind that. What you focus on expands. What you focus on expands. Take a look at this picture. This is a famous picture. And you ask yourself, what do you see? What do you see? Some of you may see a young, vibrant, beautiful girl. Some of you may see an old lady who's had a rough life. You see, it's perspective. It's perspective. What do you see? Look at this next picture. Same picture, two different perspectives. What do you see? Do you see the young princess? Or do you see the old maid? What do you see? You see, what you focus on expands. How you view and you focus, what you shift your attention on, is going to become bigger in your life. This applies on the things of God and the things of the world. This applies on things that are positive, things that are negative. You can look at this. It's a simple principle. Principle literally means it's not changing. Whether you believe it or don't believe it, it's simply a principle. And what this is, what I'm wanting you to see here is what you focus on. And shifting requires focus. Because you're going to face challenges of life. There are some times in life, let's get real, you have to shift down. Because that load's a little heavy. There's some times in life you can shift up. You can gain some speed and get a little better gas mileage in life. But the reality is it requires shifting. And here's the thing. If you're not in tune when you're driving a car and shifting, what's going to happen? It's going to die out, isn't it? You're going to kill it. The same thing is true in your spiritual life. If you're not consistently shifting and growing with the way that God has for you, guess what's going to happen? You're going to kill it. You're going to bog down. And you're going to wonder where God is in this. But God is teaching you through the scripture. We can see he's saying, listen, it requires you to focus. You know what? Sometimes life brings some challenges. But you've got to be willing to shift when those challenges come your way. Another thing is shifting requires perspective. Perspective. Look at verse 3. is think of all the hostility that he endured from sinful people. Then you won't be weary and give up. After all, you have not yet given your lives to the struggle against sin. Now, here's what you have to understand. We are naturally selfish people. We always think about ourselves. We are selfish in our nature. We're selfish. It's me, 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 me. One of the first words all kids learn is what? Mine. Mine. Why? We're humanly, naturally selfish people. What that means is we've got to work and have a perspective and see, okay, if my perspective gives me what? A better understanding. It's an understanding of the environment. If I know that I am naturally selfish, I know that I've got to make a shift inside that says, you know what? My focus is not focused upon myself, but it's focused upon what? Others. Why? It's focused upon what? God. Why? Because that's the example we see in his word. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 22, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and what? Love others. Love your neighbor. You see what I'm saying? He's saying, look, you've got to shift. There's a perspective change that happens. You've got to realize, you know what? How does it affect me? But then you soon discover what? It's not all about you. And when you begin to shift in your relationship with God, when you begin to grow, you begin to, hey, I'm adjusting as life goes on. You begin to realize that, you know, this isn't all about me. Wisdom begins to take place. You begin to grow and learn from your past mistakes, experiences, from others' mistakes, experiences. And things begin to change inside of you. You grow and develop. But really what happens is you answered the question of this. What is your why? What is your why? Why are you here? What is your purpose? Because when you begin to understand your purpose, you begin to understand the process of life. Because it begins to see, okay, the shifts I have to take place in life are directly tied to God's plan for my life. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4, it says, before God even formed you in your mother's womb, he knew you and had a plan for your life. Think about that for a moment. Before you were even formed. You see, some of you today have believed that, you know, well, you know, not me, I'm an accident. Not me, I wasn't even supposed to be here. And God's saying, wait a second, no, you've missed it. He had a plan for your life. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for he knows the plans he has for you to prosper you, to bring you hope. And if you, why does he say that? Hope in a future not to harm you, but to what? Bless you, to give you great things. If that's the case, that means what? Well beyond, God had a design for your life. You're not an accident. There is no such thing in the kingdom of God as accidents, because God is a strategic God who has a process. And in that process, you've got to learn to trust him and jump. You've got to jump when he says jump. You've got to learn in that process to release ownership and say, God, you know what? My life is in your hands. You are my God. I'm a child of God. And because of that, I take ownership for my responsibilities, for how I act and what I say and what I do, because I'm a representative of you. But then beyond that, recognizing that he has a plan for your life. And that plan is going to require some adjustments. When you look at the pattern and the process of a relationship with God, one of the things you're going to discover is this. If those who have been following Christ for some time, you can understand this process. There are moments in life where you feel like you're stuck in first gear. Things are slow. They're moving slow. There are moments when things move fast and, hey, things are cruising well. There are moments when you feel like a gear just stripped right out of that transmission. Come on. Something happens that you don't like. Something happens that tragedy hits, and we don't know how to respond. Here's what I want you to catch today. God has a plan for your life. Every minute detail, small, little detail that you think has no purpose has a plan. Why? Because God is a strategic God. He does not make mistakes. And this morning, He wants to ask you, are you willing to shift? Are you willing to adjust along the way to be all I've called you to be? I want you to close your eyes and reflect on that this morning. Maybe you're here and you know, you don't have that relationship with Christ. Maybe you've accepted him in your life, but it was some time ago. But now today, you want to rededicate that time to him. Or maybe, you know what, you've accepted him. And in this process, in this journey, you've walked away. But today you say, you know what, I want to make a decision. I want to make a choice that I'm going to follow him. I'm going to give him my life. Maybe he's asking you to jump. Maybe you're jumping today just to trust him. Maybe you're going to release ownership today and say, Lord, I've trusted you, but I'm not giving you my life. I'm not honoring you with my life and the way I live. I'm still in control. Or maybe today you've been going through some difficult times where you're just tired and you're weary. And you didn't know why, but God's speaking to you to, hey, it's time to shift. Maybe you need to shift down. Maybe you need to shift up. The reality is this. There's a shift that needs to take place in your life. With no one looking around, we want to give you that opportunity. With no one, if you're here today and you need Christ in your life, whether it's accepting him for the first time or asking him to come back in and rededicating your life to him, we want to give you that chance. I just want you to make eye contact with me. I want to pray with you right where you're sitting. You're saying, hey, pray for me today. I want to rededicate my life to him. Anybody here today? Okay. I'm taking that you've either A, experienced Christ as your Savior, or B, you're maybe not ready for that point. Either way, if you have, praise God. If not, then you know what? Continue to seek him. Because the Bible says if you seek him, you'll find him. But I want to pray with you before we close. Because I know that all of us here today go through those battles, we go through those struggles where we need God to intervene. We need him to help us. Maybe you're in a difficult time right now, or you don't know how you're going to make it, but you need God to help you shift down or shift up, whatever it may be. But I want to pray that God would help you release in your life that ability to say, you know what, Lord? I want to be in tune with you. Scripture says, help you to walk in the Spirit. What does that mean? It means being able to shift and to grow with what God is doing in your life. But let me just pray with you today. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray over each and every person here in this room. Lord, we recognize that, Lord, life brings challenges. It brings difficulties. And there are moments in life, Lord, where we feel tired. There are moments in life, Lord, where We have struggles all around us. We don't know how we're going to make it. Lord, I know today there are some people that are here today that are at that point. Lord, I pray right now that your love will flow down and speak into their lives. God, that they could have peace to know that you are with them, that you have not forsaken them. Lord, that this would be a part of the journey where we would all put our focus and attention on you. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen.